morning's reading is John 1:35-42. It's Jesus' first disciples. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we just pray as we remain seated? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would enable us to hear what you have to say to us through your Spirit this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this series that we're in is called Come and See. You heard the words in Rick's notices earlier on about an event that's going on. You want to know what's going on? You want to know what it's about? Come and see. So we're looking about how the Apostle John reveals different attributes of who Jesus is in this series. Now, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a colleague. We all inhabit different roles at the same time, and so does Jesus. So today we're looking at Jesus as a teacher. Now, we're used to having teachers, and some teachers may have been real inspiration to us in our lives, be that in school, in college, in university perhaps. And some of you grown-ups may perhaps have been in adult education for postgraduate courses, perhaps. But I wonder, as I'm looking around the room now, I wonder who you're thinking about. What do you remember about a teacher who made a lasting and positive impression on you? Well, here's a quotation from a preacher. "The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires." Now, I surveyed about 9 teachers of both children and adults to get their thoughts on what it's like being a teacher. Now, you know these great... You've seen the adverts on telly, haven't you? 9 out of 10 cats prefer our brand. And then you see at the bottom that they surveyed about 9 owners out of the whole country of cat owners. It was a bit like that, really. But yes, 9 teachers who, you know, across the spectrum of age groups. And I really wanted to show you these results on PowerPoints and all the rest of it, and I suddenly realised there's so much amazing information, there's just going to be far too much for this morning. But some of those responses did remind me of experiences that Jesus had, and something helpful there. And perhaps we can spot some of those as we talk about it. One teacher said that the best thing about teaching children was this, that they have some very deep thought out opinions. They love learning and absorbing information. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Do you remember how Jesus used a small child's offering of food? There was bread and fishes to feed a whole crowd. Can you imagine how that experience will have impacted that child? And also, what's most challenging about teaching over 18s? Well, someone remarked about those who walk out, those who don't participate, or they get angry with views that they don't share. Do you recognise some of that behaviour in the Bible? Perhaps the Pharisees, perhaps? People who made excuses for not following Jesus when he'd invited them to follow him? I even asked these teachers what two attributes that they think made an outstanding teacher. Now, all of my respondents offered some really helpful comments, but the key words that seemed to be sort of trending, as it were these. Listening to pupils. Different learning styles need a different approach. Communicating in engaging and inspirational ways. And having a heart for the people that you're teaching. Well, friends, let's just see perhaps if this fits with the rabbi, Jesus, the teacher. The people of Galilee were the most religious people, the most religious Jews in the world in the time of Jesus. And that's quite contrary to the common view that Galileans were simple, uneducated peasants from an isolated area. But in this passage that's been read for us, this is where Jesus, the teacher, picks up his first followers, Andrew and Peter. And as soon as they're introduced, they call him Rabbi. Now, apparently, the word Rabbi is used 15 times in the New Testament and 5 times in John's Gospel. So a Rabbi is someone who teaches, and it's a name that's often given to someone as a mark of respect. They may well be a person who's been well educated in the scriptures and how to apply them, and people would literally follow them. A good rabbi would probably have people actually following them, living alongside them, learning to emulate their teacher. Now, John the Baptist had already been acting as a herald, pointing to Jesus, not just as a great teacher, but as the King of Heaven. He said, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" He clearly stated that himself. He stated that he himself was only sent to prepare the way for the Lord. And now that he'd seen him, he pointed to Jesus and basically said, "That's the guy you need to be following, not me. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the Messiah that the scriptures have been pointing to all along, just as I've been telling you." So, did you notice? These two disciples responded straight away, and they went to follow Jesus. And Jesus turns around and asks them what they wanted. "Where are you staying?" they said. And he invites them to come and see. And Andrew then invites his brother, Simon Peter, to come and see with that statement, "We have found the Messiah." What was it that captivated these people about Jesus? Was it what Jesus taught or how he taught that captivated them? Was it something about who he was? It was said of him that the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. What's remarkable is that at even age 12 in the temple, Jesus was already demonstrating some deep understanding, and then he grew as a teacher without having all the fancy robes or being part of the elite establishment or the teachers of the law. I think most of us would say that the main ways that Jesus taught were by stories, you know, the parables, And some of those parables really pierced the soul as well. By miracles, solutions to what was otherwise unsolvable. He fed people, he healed, and he provided. Some of his miracles shocked a few people, especially those who thought that they knew it all and they needed to see the folly of their own ways in front of their eyes. Do you remember the confrontations over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath? And it was by his approach as well. Humility, service, kindness and love towards those who needed him, and challenge towards those who thought they knew better. And he noticed those who others had decided to ignore. I wonder about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, hiding up in a tree, just waiting to see Jesus coming by. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to eat at your house tonight. And the Samaritan woman at the well. And what did Jesus teach his followers? Perhaps you're thinking now about things that he's taught you. Who God is and the nature of God. God's love. He revealed the revolutionary new idea that God wanted to be known and loved as a father. He taught us how to find true life, how to pray and worship, how to relate to God, how to depend on God's strength and not our own. He taught us the meaning of sin and our need for God's salvation. He taught us about forgiveness, God's forgiveness and forgiving each other. He showed us that he is God in the flesh, fully God and fully human. He taught us to love each other and to love ourselves. Taught us about our relationship with one another and how to treat power and influence. There's so much more. There's a big list here. Perhaps you can think of some other things that he taught us. But he also gave us hope. Hope for now and hope for eternity. Most of all, Jesus demonstrated God's loving way of service and sacrifice as he went to the cross so that you and I don't have to, because we were under such judgment and this broken world needed redeeming, and only he could do it. But I wonder though, what is the risen Jesus teaching you in your life now? Both as you read his word and in your own life experience. It's by coming to see that we discover that there is a place and a purpose for all of us in this community of life and faith and living with Jesus. We discover that it's by coming to see that we discover that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. It's by coming to see that we have something to witness to and to testify about to others. Now, just going back to that survey that I was talking about, when I asked some of our teachers, if you could ask Jesus just one question about being a teacher, what would it be? Well, there were some tremendous answers. Perhaps I could just pick on a few. How can I be a better storyteller? Oh, we all like a good story, don't we? And they do help us. What is the heart of being a good teacher beyond what we've already been told in Scripture? I like that one. How can teachers help students navigate difficult or confusing ethical and moral issues? I think that's a really good one. Today's teachers, my word, have they got a difficult job. They really do. But I would say, in as much as you possibly can, don't be afraid to use God's word, because there is eternal wisdom in there that gives us life. Eternal wisdom. And this one was brilliant. How do you cope with disappointment? I think Jesus experienced some disappointment, don't you? Peter's denial, Judas, of course. Jesus' grief at the beheading of his own cousin, John the Baptist. And of course, the disciples arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But the thing is, Jesus' disciples stayed with him. They followed him. They lived with him. They walked and talked with him. They ate together. They traveled together. They celebrated together. And they shared disappointments together too. And so through regular conversations and witnessing Jesus' relationship with God, and dare I say their relationship with each other as well, that's how they discovered the heart of it all. That God loves to show himself and his goodness, and that he does that supremely in Jesus. And to achieve that, the disciples had to come and see and stay with Jesus, the teacher, and in the course of time, receive the Holy Spirit for themselves, the same Spirit who empowers you and me. I'm going to close very briefly with my own story of living with and being with. When I was a teenager, I got into slalom canoeing. That's whitewater canoeing, where you go ducking between these green poles and the red poles and trying not to hit them. And it was competitive. And I learned this at school. I was watching the seniors doing it, and I thought, wow, that's great. And I got invited on a trip to go down some white water, and I did it, and I loved it. And I got utterly captivated. And as I grew, and as time went on, I found myself getting involved even at a national level. I ended up spending time with some of the best in the country and in the world. People like Richard Fox, Gail Allen, Tony Lever, Vemba Mortlock. I know you don't know those names at all, but I spent time with them. I even spent time training with them. I had a week in France in the French Alps on the river there. I spent time with, was it Vemba Mortlock? We trained together at Windermere. There's a little river that comes in. We spent time there. There's some gates at the top head of Windermere. And I just spent the time with them. You know, on the weekends, I'd be in the pub with them, listening to them. On that week in France, we watched videos of ourselves. And it's all that time spent living together, working together, how I learnt from them. How all their techniques and all the rest of it. And it's by that being immersed in that community that I learned and I grew and I got captivated by this competitive sport. And I loved it. Friends, you know I'm not here to preach about slalom canoeing. I'm here to preach about Jesus. But perhaps that gives you an idea of that being immersed in that community of people, learning from the teacher, Jesus. That's what we need to do if we're to stay captivated by this teacher, Jesus, who gives us life, making him our home, transforming our broken, messy lives, and drawing strength and life from him, obeying him, calling on him in prayer. So friends, my final question is, as I've already said, what is Jesus teaching you now in your life? And in your walk with him. Amen.